Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
What's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. It has been a minute since we last talked, but we are back. We are so excited to be talking KU Hoops. Andrew, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing just great, Kevin. It took a fight to get us back together. Obviously, you know, we like to talk about basketball. We like to talk about three-pointers and dunks. But we like to talk about drama as well. And so we've finally gotten back together to talk about this, a pretty big story, but also kind of give a recap to what's happened in the season so far. Maybe get this podcast kicked back up. But, you know, you've got little kids. I've got a little kid. It's been hard, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, it's nice. We've taken a little break here, and by taking that break, we've got a lot of perspective to bring, I think.
Sure.
Yes. You know, we can take a more macro view of the season and not get caught up in little storylines here and there. However, we will probably talk a few little storylines because there's a lot of little storylines out there. We had game day in the house last week. We had obviously this Big 12 SEC challenge, and now we're back to conference play like God intended. And we've got a lot to talk about with national media talking about our team. We have a lot to talk about from our team alone. I mean, we've got an awesome team, and no one's really talking about us, which is kind of cool and also not so cool because the stuff that they're saying instead is stuff maybe not so good. But I'm really stoked about this team, Andrew, particularly when you look around the rest of college basketball and you take it in context with what our competition is. We got a pretty good team.
We do have a pretty good team. We're number one in KenPom, which we take a lot of credit in. We like to look at KenPom as kind of a gauge of things, and the national rankings is a gauge of things. But just who cares about that? Look at the eye test. This team is really good. It's really good. It's really good. And the best part about it, and we've talked about this for a long time, is no one's really talking about us, which is kind of the best position to be in.
Yeah. And it's almost, well, let's get into this. So we have, I think it's probably worthwhile to maybe start with some recent storylines and just kind of do some quick hitters on those. And then I think we get into what the season, you know, kind of where we've gone through from a third of the season, or at least a third of the conference season. We can sort of give some perspective on that. Look forward, talk about the OSU game, Texas Tech game, the rest of the season, kind of give a little outlook there. Maybe even talk a little bracketology. Is it too soon? I don't think so.
I talk about bracketology in July.
And then, Andrew, we'll close with maybe just a look ahead. But here's the deal. We had game day in the house. We get that, you know, usually at least once a year. Huge Reese Davis interview with Bill Self. And, you know, when he comes out, it's usually a big thing. It's usually kind of, you know, I don't know. They kind of josh around, and, you know, Bill Self smiles and he does his thing, and they talk about how good the team is and blah, blah, blah. They didn't spend one goddamn word on the team. Like, they didn't talk about basketball once.
Let's back up here. When I say that they aren't talking about us, they're not talking about the basketball team being a threat. They're talking about Silvio De Sousa, and they're talking about the fight that happened against K-State.
And FBI and, you know, all these other stuff. I mean, there was more to it even than that. If that was it, at least that's one thing. But Snoop, I mean, all of it, everybody's, all the stories are off the basketball court. But what did you think of that? Did you catch it?
I did. Yeah. I did. I mean, I think he was a pretty good ambassador for, most importantly, just his team and his guys. I mean, there was some fault that maybe he placed blame on just himself and the staff and the administration, and he was trying to protect his players from that end. And then he, you know, put some blame on his players as well from the fight angle of it. So, you know, I thought it was a pretty good interview, and if I'm one of the players, I come out of that, you know, super jacked up that this is my coach. If I'm, you know, try hard, virtue signaling tweeter, from the K-State or Big 12 team or the national media, I probably like wouldn't take that as sincere or you know, have any value. But if I'm the player on the team, I think like, yeah, this is my dude. I'm going to ride or die with this guy.
So I'm with you, and I think that's a really good answer. Bill Self is the best in that situation. Like crisis management and PR management and media management and just like the just total big picture guy. You know, I know sometimes when you bring up all the stuff that's happened off the court. And you're right. The national media will go, God, he's good in that setting, but you got to look at the facts. And the facts say that there's a lot of shit that's happened in this program, right? And I get that. And I think it's maybe even fair. But if you just listen to Bill Self in those interviews, and frankly, he probably needs to do more of them because he's so good at it. He's so good. He's like, and I tweeted this. He's like, the man should have been a politician in a different world. And I think I might have told this story before in the podcast, but if I did, it was a long time ago. Quick anecdote, our guy, Bill Ryder, you might remember him from Fox Sports, Kansas City guy. He's now gone on to big, massive things in LA and New York and whatever else. You can follow him at Sports Ryder, R-E-I-T-E-R. He's on Fox Sports Radio, whatever. He's a Mizzou guy, and I always give him shit about that, but he loves Bill Self, and he covered Bill Self. And when early in his career, he also covered politics, and he covered Bill Clinton. And he said, I've never in my life ever come across anybody that oozes just that you got it. You want to be around the guy factor. You want to have a beer with the guy factor. Just the everything about him is just you know, magnetizes you, except for Bill Self. Like Bill Self is the only person that's ever come close to that from Bill Clinton. And like, if you talk to people and, you know, and obviously we're a little biased in the Kansas world, but even outside of that, like that's a pretty common thing. And so anyway, he's got that trait that very few coaches and very few, frankly, people have. He's good in that environment.
Well, I mean, let's get beyond the PR talk. You like to talk about PR. I like to talk about haymakers. So let's talk about the fight here. And that I'm being a little facetious there, but also, it is a Royal Rumble night for you wrestling fans, so it's only appropriate that we're recording on Royal Rumble night.
I don't know what that is.
It's where a bunch of people fight all at the same time. You may have seen that last week.
I did see that.
So we were just getting in the spirit early there in Lawrence, Kansas. So let's just dive right in just for a second. I want to talk about the fight.
Okay.
Like, I think that we probably could, and maybe we should, do a dissection of the fight. Maybe we'll do that in the off season, when there's a sufficient time in between. Some we can add a little more levity to it, because right now you can't really add too much levity to it.
Speak for yourself. I started levity 10 seconds after it happened, and people didn't like that very much.
It's what I'm saying. People are gonna accept it. Like you and I talk about it, but like we probably need to put some time in between. You know, because like in 15 years they'll show this up on the Jumbotron. Right, it's 15 years they're gonna show this on the Jumbotron, and everybody's gonna cheer. But like even year like 14, it's gonna be like, ooh, too soon. That's not appropriate.
Whatever.
Because you see some of those, sometimes they put those fights up there, like there was one with Mizzou from like the 50s.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those. So I've been through all of the emotions on this. So, you know, I'm on the other side. I'm in Allen Fieldhouse for this game. I'm there. I'm loving what's going on. K-State, not very good. They didn't really show much grit, much gumption, much effort in this game. And, you know, they lost by 20, or they were losing by 22. And Mayween wasn't very good. Mayween has killed us in the past. And some of those other guys, you know, just wasn't enough. So I loved it. I loved it being K-State. K-State's not very good. And then we get the whole Monmouth incident again, Monmouth part two. And what happened is what we wished would have happened against Monmouth, is that we wished versus Monmouth that Tristan Inarua would have blocked that shot. It would have been the perfect ending.
Yeah.
In this situation, Silvio blocked the shot, and he blocked it forcefully
mm.
with authority.
Best block of the year, not close. Like maybe best block in college basketball this year.
This season, absolutely. Best block.
Unfortunately, people aren't talking about that. That's what we need to be focusing on. Right. That block was bonkers.
And if he would have blocked it, screamed, and then immediately turned around and ran to half court, we would have been marked that is the end of the K-State basketball program. They would have had to just close shop right yeah. there if he would have turned around.
Yeah.
That's the other world we're living in. The parallel world that happened, but that is not what happened.
No, it's not. So you were in the stands. I was at home. Full disclosure, I went upstairs with like 20 seconds left in the game to put my kids to bed. So I did, and then looked at my phone after like 5 minutes and had like 35 text messages. I'm like, oh God, what happened? And yeah. so I actually went back downstairs and watched the end of it before the kids went to bed. Cause I had to be like, what happened? And so I was a little delayed on my reaction to this, but what was it like from the stands?
It was horrible.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you, I watched it in person, and so I have two comparisons: watching it in person, watching it all kind of unfold, and then going home and watching a replay on TV. I'll tell you, in person, I thought it was much, much worse.
Okay.
Because it's hard to tell what's going on. You don't get the benefit of close-up angles.
Yeah.
You don't get the benefit of rewind. You don't get the benefit of multiple angles. All you're seeing in real time is just bodies literally flying in the air. I saw shoes up above people's heads. I think that was Jeremy Case. I saw elbows swinging wildly. I saw fists swinging wildly. And I saw stomping. I didn't know who was doing it, what side, if it was. And I knew that also that was the handicap section.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
So
I'll give you that.
I didn't see the stool. I didn't see the stool.
Oh,
so
the stool.
That's the one part that makes it better. Having seen it in person is that element. But seeing it in person, not knowing anything else, just seeing that, I thought it was much, much worse. I thought that because I thought everyone was involved. You can't really tell when you're looking at that, who's trying to break it up and who's
right.
involved. And so I just thought, oh, well, we're not going to be able to field a team versus Tennessee or anyone probably for the next five games.
Yeah.
Like I was immediately thinking like, how are we even going to do this? Like, does this end the season? These are the immediate reactions that pop through your head. Now, obviously it wasn't that bad. It seemed like this was limited to David McCormick, Silvio De Sousa, and then two of the K-State guys, maybe three of the K-State guys. And then really the K-State bench. Like, I don't think that they're getting enough credit thrown on them, but we'll leave that to a topic later on. But just from my perspective, in person, I thought it was much worse. Seeing it now and seeing what happened, obviously Silvio De Sousa with what happened and his reaction to it, because I wouldn't necessarily say he may have started the fire, but he did not throw the gasoline on the fire. And then the chair thing was obviously what put it over the edge.
Yeah.
From being a traditional fight that happens in college basketball every several years. You know, you saw it against Cincinnati and Xavier several years back. But what separated it from those was the chair.
The chair, man. So,
oh my God.
The best part just about the chair. God. Like, here's the thing. If there was no chair involved, Silvio gets what? Like eight games, six games?
Probably the same as,
the other clown. Yeah. Yeah. So the problem with the chair is, like, he didn't hit anybody with it. He just picked the chair up and dropped it. But those damn pictures, like
they're so bad.
They had the benefit of having the goddamn fight right in the middle of the media section, where like all the cameras are like, let me just switch this lens out right quick, click 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 click, you know. And, like, and they had all those still shots, which were just crazy, right? And and that's the first thing that gets shared, and then it just goes, you know, completely viral, where you see Silvio with the chair freaking reared back and just ready to just destroy someone like it's a bar fight on like a movie. And of course he didn't do that. And he did appear to drop it, right? He didn't actually, all these takes were like, oh, you know, Jared Howard saved his career by stopping him from, like, I don't think it looked like he just dropped it, but
I think that the angles that have come out since then have showed that. But you know, like I said, I've been through the range of emotions on this. I went through like immediate despair to mostly disappointment to,
I went straight to comedy gold. I couldn't help it.
Yeah. So, well, and I get that. And I want to be on record as saying, like, this was extremely disappointing and extremely horrible for the people involved in both basketball programs. That being said, you can kind of like laugh now out of like sheer amazement that it even happened. Like, it's not funny, but it's like, what was that?
Man, I got a couple takes. I think this is good for the rivalry. I think there's something to be said for that.
Sure. Outside of that, outside of like being limited to this situation is like horrible. If you take some of the outside takes, absolutely great for the rivalry.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like in Bramlage Coliseum? Oh, we're going to win by 20, but that's going to be insane.
It's going to be fun.
There will never be a more vicious crowd in all of college basketball.
I kind of want to go. I kind of want to be there.
Man.
The other side of it, stay woke. I think it's very smart talking about PR on K-State.
Your favorite.
It's smart on K-State. You give them credit. Usually an ag school, not known for their PR, you know, chops. Smart for them to start a fight because no one's talking about the fact that they got boat raced in the game, right? No one's talking about that. the other part of it, biggest loser, Christian Brown.
Poor guy. I mean we're talking Blue Valley Northwest, you know, just down the road from both of us, you know, Burlington. If you need a three-pointer or a three-point specialist, they grow them apparently in Burlington, Kansas, and train them in South Overland Park. But he had the best game of his career, obviously. It's obviously young career, but showed that he should probably start on this depleted team. And deserves it. Now, he didn't start against Tennessee, but Bill Self said he probably should have, but he wanted to give Moss a chance. A couple other things I want to hit before we move on completely from this is it's kind of an interesting time we live in where we can relive this thing from basically every single person's angle from the first five rows because everyone had their camera out. So you can see it from the left side. You can see it from the right side. You can see it from the front few rows on the sides. And so everyone had a different angle, and that showed something else, showed things possibly in a different perspective. It's kind of like watching, you know, a pass interference call in the NFL, and they've got two different cameras. Like, oh, this one shows that he didn't get over, but this one clearly shows, this overhead one shows that he did. So, you know, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that wasn't possible. But this was all captured in real time by someone that's not in the media that they have control of it. Like, I have control over this on my cell phone, and I can share it, and we can all look. And I think that we can see that now from like the stool stuff and the K-State bench getting up and kind of rushing who pushed who first. Silvio did throw the first punch, but who pushed who first? We can kind of all see that now on Twitter in live time and live stream with everybody sharing their angle. I think that's very interesting. Just something to throw out there.
Totally agree. We've had a game since then, right? We had this Tennessee game, and Twitter announced that. KU Twitter announced that the Kansas Athletics Department will not allow anyone in with a stool T-shirt. What do you think of that stool censorship? I don't know if I'm on board with that.
Well, I agree. I don't think they should censor that, but I just want to put a scenario to you. What if the number one camping group from Allen Fieldhouse, let's just call them the Buddy Hawks Part Deux, were to like get the clever idea, someone like you, someone with a brain like you from 15 years ago, with like, hey, we should all do something hilarious with the stool. And then they all 30 of you camping group members walk in to the front row with stool, every single one of you with a stool on the t-shirt in front of a game day and in a national television audience. Like, I'm just telling you, like, imagine that scenario, and then I'll leave it with that.
I think that would be awesome. like, what are we talking about here? Is this a problem?
Would your mom watching at home think that's awesome? Not that that should be the judge.
You know, good question. Hard to say. I think she might maybe kind of laugh at it.
And what about the big people, the big money people who live in Overland Park?
Yeah, I mean, they probably wouldn't like it. But then kids being kids, like, whatever.
Okay.
That's how I feel about that. I
mean, I'm just throwing a scenario out, and I'll leave it there.
I think that's pretty brutal not to allow anyone with a stool t-shirt. Although I can see the argument with people coming up with signs that just like with stool themed signs, which, by the way, we might as well just go ahead and have them in Allen Fieldhouse, because they're going to be everywhere else we go.
I want to get used to it.
Everybody's going to have a stool sign, right? And so, I don't know. I think that's pretty funny. Andrew, we saw the national media react very negatively to this.
Seth Greenberg, it's like, who could have the hottest take?
Right? Yeah, did you see this?
That's the business they're in. They're in the hottest take business.
I get that.
Who can be the most harsh Crime and Punishment tweeter of the bunch, knowing that that's not realistic? And Seth Greenberg, criminal charges should be filed and blah blah blah.
Oh my God. So he seemed legitimately surprised that he was getting booed at Allen Fieldhouse.
Surprised?
Yeah, that's what he said. And his daughter gets in on this. Did you see this?
No, I did not see that.
It's anyway. And I think she's fair game because she's like a media somebody or whatever. Oh. But anyway, it's pretty brutal to watch. But I kind of sort of get it. Now, in a vacuum, like saying criminal charges, that's all crazy. But if you were to provide, deep thoughts, perspective, think piece on Kansas basketball's program, I sort of get it, right? I would understand that it would not necessarily be like, oh God, a fight. It's more like another check in the line of negative potential publicity for the program that has had a lot of those checks over the past several years. And so, to the extent that that piece is getting written, like, okay, whatever, but I think KU fans are it's going to get worse, right? This is going to get worse. Yeah, the FBI stuff's not. The NCAA stuff is coming, man. It's obviously
going to. I thought you meant from the fight, the fight reaction.
Oh, no, I think that's done. But
I think it's largely blown over, but it was.
I couldn't believe how long it stayed, though. It was 72-hour news cycle in college basketball. And on ESPN still, how do we move on? How does college basketball move on from this? That was a legitimate article, all over the place. I can't do it.
Oh, weak. Anyway. They didn't have Zion to write about, so they got to write about something.
I guess so. All right, well, let's
talk about some real basketball.
Yeah, I like that.
Because this team is really good, Kevin.
Let's do it. So I want to start here. We've got KenPom's number one ranked player right now on our team. Did you know that?
Yeah. Devon Dotson, number one. He's been creeping up the rankings, and I believe Azubuike's in the top 10.
So
he was.
I think you're right. And so we've got, at least per the patron saint, KenPom, we have two top 10 players on our team. It begs the question, Andrew, best tandem since?
Are we talking KU?
Yes.
I
think you got to go KU.
There's been a lot. You can take two best players on a single team. I'm not doing that. I'm doing two.
Little guy, big guy, right?
Where there are two players and they're basically carrying the team. Not that the other guys aren't good, but the offense revolves around two guys. And particularly big guy, little guy, it's got to be Tyshawn and T-Rob, right?
Yeah, Cole Sharon was pretty good, but right. But yeah, I think
saying, you said since.
Yeah, I think since. That's fair. And Which one would you rather have? I mean, this is it's starting to get interesting all of a sudden when, particularly in comparison to the quality of opponent, ah, man, these guys look pretty good. I mean, Dotson,
you're right.
Dotson's super underrated, it feels like, too.
Absolutely. I think he's super underrated. Like, he's number one player in KenPom, and everyone knows his name, and everyone knows he's the point guard for Kansas and an All-American and going to go to the NBA next year. Everyone knows that, but, like, he is deserving of way more than that. We're talking he should be in conversations for National Player of the Year, and I haven't seen that.
You never hear it. You never hear his name. That's the crazy part.
And maybe that's a good thing. You know, he can sneak up on some people. And I would not necessarily, you know, just take shots at the media saying they're not talking about him. Part of the reason they're not talking about him is because Udoka's on the team too. And Udoka is so dominant, and all the attention goes, you know, from team defense goes to him, goes to stopping him, that maybe he gets overlooked. You know, because you have two guys who are such forces, such weapons that can get you on the offensive end, that maybe he takes away some of his gravity. That's a good position to be in. Like, sorry, Devon Dotson, but we've got two players here that are deserving of all this attention, and there's only so much to go around.
Yeah, you're right. I think he is a victim of multiple people on the team. You know, there's been a lot of that in college basketball over time. You see that at Duke and Kentucky, where you have, you know, maybe the two or three or four best players in college basketball on one team, and you just don't see it until maybe they get into the league and start dominating, and you're like, oh, wow, that guy's really good. But, you know, it turns out he was playing on a team of a bunch of guys who are really good, too. KU's got a pretty good makeup right now, because we've got, you know, two kind of alphas, and then so a supporting cast that's starting to come around to their roles. And I want to talk about that a little bit too, because we know where those two guys are. We know who Devon and Doak are. And I think we've seen Marcus turn into this, like, just totally, like, we'd be lost without him glue guy too, right?
100%.
That on defense is just completely like, it's almost like a sort of a Travis Relaford type, but defensively particularly, but you know, without the shot, but with more intangibles, or, you know, I don't know how the right way to frame it, but
I think you're right. I mean, he doesn't have the 3-point shot that Travis did. He is as good of a defender. Travis Relaford Marcus Garrett's way better. He may be the best defender in college basketball.
Yeah, I mean,
he's definitely the best defender in the Big 12.
It's his instincts, I think, that are the wild part. Like, you see guys be crazy on ball defenders where they're just super quick and, you know, get in front of you and move their feet and, like, you know, get their hands out, whatever. Shifty, you know, quick hips, whatever. Like, there's those types of guys, but Marcus takes it to a different level because he has that. But you don't see him, like, you know, up in people's grill as much, you know, maybe that you saw, you would think of that sort of on ball type defender, but he's just got these crazy instincts where he just, you know, knows where to be. He knows the angles, he knows the right, you know, from a team defense perspective, where to be. And that's, man, when you hear Bill Self talk about how he's one of the, you know, most fun players he's ever coached, that's gotta be particularly on defense, it's got to be the reason, because the guy he's a coach out there. And he's an extension of Self. And you don't get that very often on the defensive end. You know, you talk about a player being an extension of the coach, usually a point guard or whatever. Not on the defensive side. He's like a middle linebacker. It's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, he's calling the plays on defense. I mean, not that he is, but, like, certainly he's the point man. And two things to add to that. One, I love his little move around the rim. He's got this cut move, and he's got this little hook layup that he makes every time.
He's got a drive. Yep.
And so his drive and his layup is. He scores. He may have, like, the best jump shot, but he can score that way. The other thing is Dotson sat out a game, and Garrett took over the point guard job and did a great job.
Good point. And
so much so that Bill Self said after the game, well, we know who our point guard is next year.
Yeah.
We have 100% faith and confidence in Marcus Garrett being our point guard next year. We're going to be great with him. And I agree. He's going to be pretty good. He spent all summer on it. He's not a score first guy, which is something you look for in a point guard. Now, Dotson's different because Dotson can score.
Yeah.
But he's going to be able to fit in really well with whoever's back next year.
So we know where those three are, which if you got 3 out of 5, that's a really good starting point.
Sure.
But you now look to the rest of the team, and Ochai is the next man up that – you know, I think a lot of people expected a ton from Ochai this year, expected, you know, maybe him to really grow into a dominant role on the team. He hasn't had to, I think, to some degree, particularly right. with the two alphas. But it does feel like he's sort of this, and I think the guys on the telecast talked about it, where he could be the difference maker between a good and great team. I'm not sure I'm there, but you have to see, you know, intangibly, he has these tools. I don't think he's really put it together, though, this year. And just my opinion, it feels like there's a lot in there that, you know, I think we were expecting to see last year and into this year based on last year. And it's there, but I don't know. I'm still sort of waiting for it to happen. I feel like we've had this same feeling about one player every year. Like if you go back where you look at either a heralded recruit or somebody, you're like, man, I thought he was supposed to be this. I thought he was going to be that, right? And you see it. You're like, why can't he just do that all the time? But I'm interested to see, particularly if anyone on the team, frankly, where his arc is this season. Where are you at there?
He's certainly been up and down, like really up and down. I mean, we've got games where he's scored 20. And then especially those couple games in December where he scored 20.
Yeah, he just disappears.
And then is in single digits for the next couple games and then has 16 and then a single digit. And then so he's been up and down. And that doesn't necessarily that he's being disappearing or just not playing well offensively. Sometimes he just doesn't need to do it.
That's fair.
You know,
that's
sometimes fair. Doak goes 10 for 11 and Dotson shoots – you know, 5 for 10, and then, you know, where are your shots going to come from? So, but I do think that when we get into the tournament and we get into the harder games in the Big 12, they're going to figure out ways to double team Doak and then figure out what to do with Dotson. And there's going to have to be another option. And I think he's offensively, he's got to be your nail down, knock down third option. Yeah. And if he is, you're going to be hard to beat.
I mean,
because you can't stop all three.
You're right. And I mean, I think a lot of people look back over the years and they're sort of thinking, and you know, it sort of reminds you of like a Wayne Selden sophomore year, or like Malik Newman, like where is it? You know, like one of those, particularly the position he plays, where you know, in time you hope to see that he explodes at the right time, and both those guys did too. So it's something to watch. I'm also particularly interested, and you mentioned him already, Andrew, in Christian Brown. I was pretty hard on him early in the season. I texting with our group and was like, I don't get it. You know, like, what's going on here? I never really tweeted it because I, you know, whatever. But I didn't quite understand it. Obviously, Self's seen a lot more of him in practice, and it's starting to shine now as he's getting really comfortable in the system and in his own skin on this basketball court. Dude is really good. I'm excited, not just for this year, but I'm excited to see where Christian Brown goes over the next 4 years, man. Like he could be a lot of fun. I heard K-State fans talking about him a little bit, like, man, this dude, freshman white kid, is going to come score 20 on us as freshman. We got 3 more years to deal with this cat, right? Like, I love that. I hope he turns out to be that guy. But I'm excited for him. I don't know where you're at on Christian Brown.
Love Christian Brown. You know, he didn't occupy a whole lot of brain space for me or many of the others. Folks early on,
maybe like fourth of the
the new guys.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. So if you're, you know, we saw Tristan Inarua come out and, you know, he's the only one who was kind of on draft boards because of his athleticism. Yeah. And then Christian Brown's taken all of his minutes.
Yeah. All of them. I'll be interested to see what happens over these next few games with, you know, obviously Silvio wasn't really playing anyway, but, you know, I guess we only have one more game without McCormick, but we've seen it. Like, Self is going small again. And, you know, 4-1, and I think that's the right thing to do. I think everybody sees that that's the right thing to do. McCormick can spell Doak. Occasionally they can play a few minutes together. But there's got to be this 4-1, and sometimes it's Moss when he's streaky hot and shooting the ball well. But, man, you got to – it's hard not to keep Christian Brown on the court right now.
Right.
And so that'll be fun to watch.
I agree. It'll be a lot of fun to watch. I mean, he's currently shooting 44% from three and is tough on defense. That's the one thing that Bill Self says he likes about him is he's tough. He played, you know, the first time we kind of really noticed that he was stepping out beyond Inarua was West Virginia, where Enru didn't get a minute because Bill Self didn't think he was tough enough to play against the big boys, the defenders from West Virginia. But Christian Brown played a lot that game.
Yeah, over the past five games, he's played starter minutes according to KenPom, the most frequent lineup at least. So I think that's I wonder if it's here to stay. Now I think Inarua is going to play a little bit. Particularly when they have to go super small, if Doak goes in foul trouble. We saw how well that went against Tennessee. Oh my. Woof.
That just goes to show you, you know, Dotson, I love Dotson, and he's the number one KenPom player and should be getting consideration for National Player of the Year. I 100% believe that. But we saw what happened when Dotson was out for a full game. We also saw what happens when Doak doesn't play. Those are we were able to do all right, do pretty well without Dotson. We were pretty terrible without Doak.
Yeah, I mean, it's last year all over again, right? I mean, it's just when Doak goes out, it's a totally different team. And that's the case.
There's a little different there. I mean, no McCormick either, no Silvio either. So
right.
It's a little different, but, you know, Azubuike is a pillar, the pillar to this team, and everything builds around him.
I think you're right. And particularly, I mean, when over these last several games, I mean, Doak has been he's always been fun to watch because he's, you know, he's a pretty powerful guy, obviously, in there. And but I've been very interested to see how well he's translated his body to being a force on the defensive end, you know, being lighter, being leaner. First of all, he's running the court like a gazelle all of a sudden, right? I mean, he was doing that a little bit last year, but even more this year. He can play 35 minutes a game, and he's bringing high energy the whole time. I mean, think of those last 3 minutes of this last game where Doak was everywhere on defense.
Yeah,
everywhere.
It was great.
And jumping off, you know, like still had his legs completely. And man, that's exciting. That's really exciting to see. And hopefully he stays healthy because he is obviously right. He's the key. He's definitely the key this year. Andrew, let's move on. I think it's probably worth spending a little time on where the heck the Big 12 is right now. And we obviously took the tough loss to Baylor.
Tough loss.
To Baylor, who is 17-1, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
And 6-0 in the conference. They've struggled in a couple games, but you know, right now they are certainly in the driver's seat, particularly with a win at Allen Fieldhouse with that 6-0 start. They're pretty good, I think. Right? I mean, I think we can. This doesn't look fluky right now. With Baylor.
No, they're really good. They're really good. So they could win the Big 12 and may deserve to win it. I mean, they beat us at home. They're going to have a couple tough games left the rest of the way. I think they're going to be favored in most of those games. They go to West Virginia. I think that's really the only one that Vegas may favor West Virginia in.
That's correct.
But we have to go down there. We have to go down there, and that's we got to get a win there, and hopefully they trip up. They look like a pretty disciplined team, which is weird to say from a Scott Drew team. You know, they have struggled a couple games, but you know all good teams are going to struggle here and there. They struggled, I think, at home to Oklahoma last week.
Yeah.
But you know what? They got the win, and they are currently undefeated in the Big 12 and the team to beat.
They're not blowing teams out is the one thing I guess I'll point to. And Frank, I have to stop there because nobody's really blowing teams out in college basketball this year.
Well, and I agree. In the Big 12, we have got like by far the best defensive statistics and the best defensive teams we've had this conference in forever. We've turned into the Big 10 from the 80s. Like no one's scoring points. It's all defense. Let me look at Ken Palm right now. KU is third in defense. Baylor is fourth. West Virginia is first. We have 1, 3, and 4 top defending teams in the country. So there's not a lot of points scored. Like these are all going to be kind of a little more grinded out games just because it's going to be hard to score. So that's part of it. So here's the Big 12 is just a great defending team. And I don't think we're necessarily a bad offensive team or offensive conference. We just have a lot of good defensive teams.
Here's one for you. I'm looking at Baylor's schedule right now. Over the course of the year, they've had one team score over 70 points. One team. Wow. And in the past 13 games, only twice has anyone scored over 60. Sorry, 65. So they're holding teams down, man. They are. And you look at Kansas's. I mean, we've got pretty similar numbers. West Virginia is pretty similar. It's just interesting to see how low scoring these games have been, and not normal, right? Not normal for the Big 12, but.
Well, and you know, earlier in the year we were scoring 90. We had 100 in one of these games. We thought we were going to be this high flying scoring team, and the defense was going to come along. But
Monmouth, man, 112. We scored 112 points against Monmouth.
It's really been the defense leading the way, and the offense has crept up. Now I think the offense has caught up with the defense for the most part. I think our defense is better, but. It's our defense we're going to win a championship on. But, you know, it's going to go through Baylor if you want a want to win a Big 12 championship.
There you go.
Speaking of Big 12, just generally, what's your thought on winning the conference? Does it mean as much to you now? Let's say it kind of ends the way it is, as bracketology is now. Baylor wins the Big 12, but we still get a one seed. Like, does that matter to you that we didn't win the Big 12?
Not as much. I mean, I think it's
– without a streak on the line?
To be totally candid, I don't think it does. As long as we're on the one line in particular, I don't particularly care. I obviously you want to. I mean, that's ideal. It's fun to do that. It gives a little pressure down the stretch. If there's, you know, we have to win a share, or we have to win to, you know, whatever. I think they should feel that as if it's, you know, real, not just game pressure, but also, you know, championship pressure. I think that's good. But I don't know. It's good for everybody to get a ring. It's good for everyone to hang a banner. But the feeling that you had during the streak versus now, I think most people, at least I don't speak for everybody, at least for me, I am not as like worried about it. I don't know where you are.
I really want to win it, but I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, it's different though. It's a weird feeling.
Yeah.
Good question. So just walking through the rest of the Big 12. We've got three teams in the top, six in KenPom? Is that right? West Virginia is up there in the top 10, aren't they? Somewhere.
I think they're close. Six. Baylor's fourth, and we're first.
So, and then it drops off considerably from there.
Well, Texas Tech's 27. I still think Texas Tech's pretty good.
I agree.
It's really those four.
And from there, you know, you're talking about who's next? Oklahoma, maybe, and somewhere in the 40s.
Probably, yeah. Like, or in beyond rankings, they're probably the next best team.
And then it goes real. You're starting to get in the 60s. So TCU 63, Iowa State 64, Texas 75, and then Oklahoma State and K State to round it out. So these teams are, you know, we've got some bottom feeders in the Big 12 all of a sudden. Now, we saw during the SEC challenge, there's at least a little bit of movement. Did Oklahoma State won their game, right? Didn't they? Am I misremembering that? Didn't Oklahoma State win? They've been 0-6 to start in the conference, but I think caught a win.
Texas A&M.
Yeah, that's right. So they, they're coming off a win, but they're, I don't know, they're 10-9 or 11-9 or something like that. There's just the Big 12 top to bottom. I mean, we've had this RPI conference number one forever, right? It felt like forever, up and down. You know, it's one of those teams or one of those leagues that you didn't want to play even the 9 and 10 in the league, like maybe in the ACC there were some bottom feeders. This year it feels like there's at least some teams that you should beat, which is a little different, I think.
Right. It wasn't. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're K-State, Oklahoma State, like, and I don't want to jinx it because we go to Stillwater tomorrow, and it's always tough to play there. But these teams aren't what the Big 12 is not what it usually is. Usually, you've got all 10 teams, high ranked, as regarded nationally compared to everyone else, and really, eight of them have some sort of contention to get into the tournament. Here, I mean, we'll probably get five in.
Yeah, five. I think five is the right number. Here's a good example. You look at KU's remaining schedule. 8 of the 12 games, they're projected to win by more than 10 points. Okay. In the Big 12. Yeah. I mean, that's not normal. Usually, at least on the road, it's a 6 or 7 point KenPom line, right? Something like that. It's not. You don't see these 12, 13, 12, 13, 12, that's a very big difference. Now, it's still early. If you were to set the line at 5.5 on teams to get in, would you take the under? I think I would right now, but
I probably would. I think Oklahoma, maybe TCU, but I can't see anybody else getting
somebody
in.
Somebody will go on a run because there's too many crappy teams in the Big 12, right? There's too many teams that you could feed on. Theoretically, if you were to win like 7 of 8 to close or something, maybe you sneak up on Baylor or Kansas or West Virginia, and then you just crush Oklahoma State and K-State and Texas and Iowa State, and next thing you've won 7 of 8 and you sneak in the tournament. I think that's realistic for somebody. I just don't know who it's gonna be.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. Anything else in the Big 12, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little shocking if you want to talk just for a few brief moments about Shaka Smart. He's done after this season, right?
Hate to see it.
He's done.
Listen, I don't mean to wish ill will on another man's job, but that's too bad. I think he's I think he'll be just fine, coaching for Mercer or somebody that I think he'll be a little better at.
I think he'll get a decent job somewhere.
I think he will. I'm just saying that. But it is, particularly when you have Rick Barnes come into the building on Saturday. And I've had this irrational like for Rick Barnes forever for some reason. Something about him, I think he's just heck of a coach, totally underrated, had sort of a, it was a mutual parting of ways out of Texas, and he goes to Tennessee and just completely crushes it. And Texas has got Shaka like thinking they had the hottest coach in the country, and it just hasn't worked out. Just kind of makes me laugh a little bit, particularly with Shaka. So I don't know. It's hard to see Texas hanging around with Shaka. I don't think it's going to work, man. At this point, I don't think it makes sense.
I hope he sticks around because you kind of know what you get. I don't think he's ever going to be a huge threat. And Texas is always kind of like that sleeping giant. If someone would have come in there and really get it put together, this could be, because we had that big rivalry with them, in the 2000s and early 2010s. I can remember, from Durant and DJ Augustine those teams were
awesome.
Yeah. I mean, really, for the good chunk of the Rick Barnes years, KU and Texas 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And so if someone could come in there and do a good job, I don't know who would be a candidate for that.
If Chris Beard was the Texas coach, that program would be.
But Chris Beard is recruiting at a high level like Texas would. I mean, he's getting McDonald's All-Americans
now.
Yeah, now. So I don't think we're going to see that. I mean, I don't think it'd be a huge difference between Texas Tech and as they are and Texas. But, you know, we've got another potential rival there if they get somebody good. So hats off to you, Shaka. I think you parlayed a win against us in 2011 into a decade-long career. So you're welcome, and have fun at Oregon State.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money in the bank from that. You can't knock that. Can't knock the hustle. All right, college basketball generally. We've talked about this briefly already, and we'll keep it brief here, but it just, you know, every year people are like, there's a lot of parity or whatever, or there's, you know, just a couple good teams and nothing else. You hear those storylines, one or the other, every year, right? And this year it feels a little different because I do think that there are a few teams that have separated themselves a little bit. But it's not like A teams and B teams and C teams. It's like you start at B+ and then you go down. So we're sort of grading on a curve or something.
I don't know. I just think – and I'm not one to just – here to criticize the media, but I think it's just lazy sports writing.
Yeah.
I think they just don't want to talk about Baylor. Honestly.
That's fair.
Cause like they're a good team. They beat us at home. Like they should be like the darling, like the media story. Oh my God, this Baylor team's incredible. Like why aren't they saying like, oh, there's no good teams, but Baylor's a good team. Or even they're kind of ignoring us and Duke as good teams. You know, we certainly have the resumes for it. And Gonzaga's only lost one game, and they've won some big games, not just a piddly record. So yeah.
They're good.
Like take the same facts and completely change the story, but they just don't because they just don't want to talk about Baylor.
Yeah, where's Kentucky? Where's North Carolina? We don't know what to do with our hands. Like this is awkward. Yeah, it's right. You're right. I think you're right. There is some laziness there. You look at teams like Dayton, way up there, San Diego State, Gonzaga. Right.
Nothing wrong with talking about those teams. West Virginia.
It's just not sexy. It's not exciting. It's not, you know, what they're used to doing. And
you know what? Who cares? Why is that a bad thing? Like when they make those arguments, when they write those stories, they're saying it like it's a bad thing. Like this is just more competitive basketball.
Yeah.
If they think it's more a possibility that some of these teams can win or lose. Now, we did see a bunch of number one teams go down, but why is that such a bad thing?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more fun. It's basically started March Madness in freaking December. Like if you think about it, right? Like anybody can win anytime. And if you just start the premise with that, it's like just throw everything out that you think you know and just enjoy the ride because that's what you do in March. Why can't we start it early? I think that's the mentality that I'm taking with college basketball. I do agree. I think it'd be nice if some pundits and sports writers and the national media would take that approach too. Maybe some have, and I just haven't been paying attention, but it's a different, it feels a little different this year. We probably say that every year though, but whatever. Yeah. But
I mean, every season's different players, different situations. Yeah. But why isn't Jared Butler like a household name?
That's a good question.
I mean, like, why aren't they, like, I'm sure there's been some feature stories on him, but like he should be someone that you should know.
Yeah.
I think that people get into familiar patterns, and we're a beneficiary of this, but get into familiar patterns of we're going to write a ton of stories about Zion and focus a lot on Duke, and we're going to say this is a great team and it's going to get clicks.
Yeah,
when they don't have that, they have to go to other.
They spend every waking moment on fights.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
So it's just like they can't follow that pattern. When they could be talking about Duke, and they could be talking about they've got some really good freshmen. They've got, you know, Trey Jones, sophomore. They've got Vernon Carey, who's kind of another one of those guys they should be talking about a lot. But I guess I don't see that. But just kind of on a side note, but still in this, I kind of hate to see what's going on at North Carolina.
It is brutal. It's been an unraveling. It's been sad to see. I mean, you see, Roy almost he's taking some shots at his team, and just I don't know. It's just kind of ugly. Talk about something that might be you know, not working there. Although I think he's got a really good class coming in. I haven't been following recruiting, but I'm pretty sure he does. So maybe it's a blip, but kind of something. Yeah, it is pretty sad to see. I mean, they're getting beat by teams that they should no business be losing that, to.
During the Tennessee game, they had a commercial that was just some dramatic. The game. I guess it's the 100th anniversary of Duke versus North Carolina or whatever. But it was like this dramatic. It's the game.
Yeah, it's gonna be ugly.
And it was like, this isn't gonna be a very good game, guys.
Throw the records out when the Tar Heels come to town. That's what they say, right? We used to say that about Missouri. It was a nice way of saying they're not very good. But it's the same thing. Could be interesting, though. Let's look ahead for a minute, Andrew. We've got a few minutes here. Oklahoma State coming up on Monday. You're likely listening to this on a Monday, so potentially tonight. They are 78th in KenPom. I think they're 11-9. Is that right? Somewhere in there. Haven't really got it going this year, obviously. Lindy Waters is still the guy there. Is that right?
McGriff.
I'm trying to think of anybody else on that team.
I can't name another player. McGriff, only because I saw something on him earlier. But Lindy Waters, it seems like he's been there forever.
He's been there a while. He's a thing. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, we've been vexed by that building a few times in games that we had no business losing. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. I'm not terribly worried about it, but obviously with the big asterisk of what we just talked about, that anything can happen. I think KenPom has us winning. It was double digits, but I don't have it in front of me now. Several points. Let's just say the line is. I'll throw a line out there, Andrew. 13 points. What do you got?
You know, going into Stillwater's tough. I mean, I could see this being a 12-point win or a 9-point win just because it's going to – you know, they're going to be fired up. And usually they fill the building for us. I don't know if they fill the building for anybody else when they've got teams like this. But, you know, I'll take – I don't know. That's about right, I'd say.
KenPom has it 72-62. I just pulled it up.
So they have a 10-point game. That's probably about right.
Yeah. So, and then the next game, because we likely won't talk to you again until next weekend. And by the way, our hope is to – go back to the old schedule to sort of do our Sunday podcast where we can talk about the weekend and preview the Monday game and likely two games that week and sort of do that schedule again. We're going to try to maintain that going forward. Sorry again for the delay, and I appreciate a bunch of you reaching out to us saying, hey, where the hell's the podcast?
We're busy, guys. We got stuff brewing. We got stuff cooking.
But I also had some technical difficulties, Andrew. Got a new computer. Turns out that my new computer doesn't like 2009 podcast technology.
Oh, man. So, we didn't update that for them. Yeah.
Once we got it figured out, we
just didn't want to change it or learn anything new.
Yeah, it was more about...
Why would you do that?
It was more about that. Like, people would reach out to me, hey, I want to start a podcast. Can you tell me about the software you use? I'm like, you should Google it, man. Don't talk to me. But no, I think hopefully we're good here. I think we got a new setup. But anyway, the Texas Tech game at home on the weekend... KenPom's got that as a 12-point game. That's obviously giving a lot of favor to the home crowd. What do you think of that line?
Too big. That is insane. I think that Texas Tech team is pretty good.
Yeah.
They defend really well. 12 points is insane. I don't think we'll win by 12. I mean, I hope we win by 12, but that's not giving them enough credit.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. They've got a – and I haven't been paying – is it – Ramsey, the new kid, the freshman.
Yeah, don't ask me how to say his first name.
Yeah,
I don't.
He's good. I watched him. He's really good. And obviously they're coming off of a tough loss to Kentucky, where they were giving away free beer. Man, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I was like, how did they pull that off?
Yeah,
like that's.
But
only if you're a Texas Tech student though, right?
Yeah, it was Texas Tech students only, and they were pretty lit. Did you see that? Did you see that crowd?
I mean, I guess it's like, hey, what can work? Obviously, yeah. That would work, but no one seems to think that's appropriate. But hey, let's do it. If it like no qualms.
So something to watch. They lost to TCU, tough loss away. I think they lost by like 10 points, and then obviously lost to Kentucky. Their next game, I think Wednesday, is against West Virginia. So they could be coming off a three-game losing streak playing us. Obviously, thinking they probably need to get in the winning ways. So something to watch there. We'll see what happens against West Virginia. I kind of hope they beat them. Will be something,
I do too, yeah.
Something to watch on Wednesday if you're plotting your calendar out for college basketball viewing purposes. No idea if it's on ESPN Plus, but we'll go ahead and assume that it is.
We need to talk about that too. Not today.
Not today.
After the next ESPN Plus game, we will talk about ESPN Plus because I have thoughts. I'm sure you have thoughts, and I'm sure they're the same thoughts as everyone else around because we're all thinking the same thing. But we'll do that when, you know, down the road.
So let's close this thing out, Andrew. I got a closing thought for you. I'm kind of thinking that KU should just lean into the bad boy image a little bit. I don't know, like, if it suits our guys very much. Like, we got a lot of sweethearts on our team, I think, if you look at it. Like, even Doak, like, you look, he's like, oh, he's a bad man. But he kind of seems like a sweetheart. Same with Silvio, frankly. Probably the nicest of all of them. But I think they should kind of lean into it a little bit. Just, like, you know, listen to some bad boy music and get Mitch a tattoo and like to something to lean into that a little bit. You know, next time you block somebody, like, don't go stand over them, but like act like you're going to stand over them for just a second, just a quick second, and then, you know, pull back. I think they should lean into it a little bit.
I think we're going to be on double secret probation in terms of our behavior going forward. So I wouldn't take any chances regarding standing over anyone.
Oh, come on.
But like, do it in different ways.
Embrace
like,
it.
Yeah.
Like, they need to dunk and flex more, like that kind of stuff. Right.
Yeah. In wrestling, if we're going to just to put a little bow on this and bookend it with wrestling, because that's
what
kind of
wrestling. Are you,
I don't know. I'm just talking about wrestling. It's the Royal Rumble tonight. That? Like, no, it's the Royal Rumble tonight.
I don't know what that is.
We are now a wrestling team in addition to a basketball team.
That's true.
In wrestling, in the modern times, the heel, the bad guy, is almost more popular than the good guy. So yeah. Maybe this is something like along with the times,
yes.
We need to cater to
embrace,
that. So
embrace.
That's just my wrestling thought.
Lean into it. Listen, the wrestling thing makes sense because you only see in wrestling someone picking up a folding chair and actually using it. So,
oh my God.
I'll buy that. I did see people were selling shirts with like, you know, KU, like the Jayhawk, like holding a stool above itself or something. Part of me wants
better watch out. Better watch out. There's use that logo. You're going to get it.
That's true. Good point.
Think anyway,
of the Joe College t-shirts. That we would have had
I know, right? I know, right? I kind of want to put this all behind us externally, but internally, I kind of want to just like, hey, we protected our guy. We let it get too hot, but we're going to fight for this team.
I think it was a flex.
Not
it's a flex
literally.
Move.
It's a flex move. Not literally fight for this team, but like the guys out there are trying to be with their dudes. Let's just not do it with fists anymore.
Just chairs.
Just chairs.
All right. On that, let's get out of here, Andrew. Thanks so much for listening, folks. You can catch me at Jayhawk Talk on Twitter. You can catch Andrew at Sherlock Hoops. We will most likely be back on Sunday again. Until next time. We'll give you a rock chalk and get out of here. Thank you. For my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans. For my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans. For my J-Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it. Cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them.
Every time we on the court, I tried to tell him that we never coming up short. I tried to tell him that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell him that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us, they know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel, they know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.